in the 2nd Battalion, which was a machine gun battalion, and I didn't want any part of it. And our MO was Dr. Jack Wright, is a pre-war Davis Cup player. Mm-hmm. Quite a guy. I was bemoaning my fate to him one day, and he said, come on, we'll go down and see the standing medical boards in the armories. And we did. I knew one of them. There were three doctors standing, you know, medical board. They were running all day long.
Mm-hmm. And this one you knew, did he know about you?
I knew, no. Yeah. But I knew him, or he knew of me, whatever, you know. And they all got together and they said, well, you go and get a certificate from an ear specialist to say that your ear is not infected or anything like that, that it's, oh, I've forgotten the term now. That. So I did. Wright and I went downtown to see an old Dr. Keyes, I think his name is. And he put tubes up my nose and blew air and it came out of my ears and said, no, there's no blockage, there's no nothing, it's just an I don't know what they knew what it was in 39 or 40. Anyway, we trotted back to the armories again and these doctors said, okay.
A1.
Back to the 1st Battalion again. I was only about 2 days with the 2nd Battalion.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was assured I was going. I wasn't going to get left behind.
So you were back to your mortar position.
And another mortar course in England. Of course, by this time we had both our mortars and we'd done some firing. I was by way of considering myself a bit of an expert by this time.
Before the course in Britain? Or after the course?
After the course in Britain. I'd had more courses than the other two mortar officers in the brigade, you see. I knew a lot more than they did.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting along fine. I liked my men. They apparently liked me. I never had any trouble with them anyway. They gave me a Christmas present against regulations.
What did they get?
One Christmas, a Ronson lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was proud of that.
Did
I lost it up at Maple Bay after the war.
Mm-hmm.
Fell off the dock. Well, I didn't. I tripped while I was just lighting a cigarette walking along the dock and went, you know.
Just fell in your hand.
I couldn't find it. However, then the mortar platoon was increased to 6 mortars, 7 carriers.
Remgun carriers.
Remgun carriers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and a driver, mechs, I had quite a little organization, you know. All of my own. Nobody else knew anything about it, how to run it. And I thoroughly enjoyed that, you know. We did a lot of experimenting on... that time they didn't know how the mortars were going to be carried,
mm-hmm.
or whether they could be brought into action in a hurry from a carrier. We eventually evolved the thing. Each mortar came in a very big, substantial box, and we bolted on the back of a carrier, and eventually that's the way all the carriers I ever saw, British and Canadian mortar carriers, that's where they carried their mortars, the way we had devised, whether we had the first ones, I haven't a clue. I doubt it very much.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, then we evolved our own drill for getting the mortar into action, you know, sort of a crash action.
Were they such that you could break them apart into the base?
Yes, you see, the base and the barrel and the bipod, they were all separate.
So you had a bipod as opposed to the one arm that came out?
Well, it was one, a screw. But this one, then there were two legs down. They had a wing. You could wind the upper down, and then there was a traversing one. And there was a separate sight which you had to look after, and that fitted on the side.
How heavy were the various pieces? Could one man lift a base by himself?
One man carried a base plate, another man carried the barrel, another man carried the
bipod.
Carried the bipod, and another man carried 6 bombs.
And that's
when you were on foot, or going in, you know, to do anything.
And would that constitute one mortar section?
That was one mortar.
And you had 6 of these?
I had 6.
How many men in total did you have?
36. It was way up anyway. More than an infantry platoon.
I take it by this time you had risen in rank to captaincy?
No, still lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any officer below you?
No. But I had a sergeant. There was a sergeant for each mortar, and then a platoon sergeant. He was my 2IC, in other words, seeing him myself. And, boy, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I wouldn't have traded places with any of the other fellas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was sent away on yet another mortar course at the British Battle School. And while I was there, Canada decided to have its own battle school.
Which meant back Canada?
Hmm?
The battle school back in Canada?
No, in England.
Okay.
Suddenly one day near the end of the course, my name was posted on orders to report to, there's a place called Borden.
Mm-hmm.
Camp Borden, it's outside Aldershot, which was the headquarters for the Canadian Training Schools, CTS. There was a whole group of them under a brigadier, I think. There was the company commander's course. There was any number of different courses, schools, you see. So, the battle, we were number 5 battle wing.
And you were in...
And I was posted there, no by your leaf or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was most unhappy. No, I'd had these lads, some of them had been with me ever since we were down at Work Point, you know.
And you'd train them, you'd work with them for years?
Yeah, sure. Knew them, knew their family.
It's awful not to have any cold beer.
Yeah, well...
He didn't have it in the house.
You better shut that thing off for a few minutes.
Okay. All right, we're back. And what were we talking about before we stopped?
I was at the British Battle School and was posted to Borden, taken on the strength of Canadian training schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
when was this? Do you remember what year, what month?
42. And it was just coming spring or late winter, as I remember.
So, March, perhaps?
I really can't. I know it was damn wet and cold up in the North England where this battle school was. You had to crawl through water and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was also a mortar battle school.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go over the assault course lugging our pieces of mortar.
Mm-hmm. Still a lieutenant, I take it.
Oh, yeah. That's all the job called for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite happy. I stayed there for very nearly a year. We eventually got the school started, and I was the mortar instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And we evolved a scheme whereby we'd have one mortar crew, complete with its carrier, would come from wherever its unit was stationed to the battle school.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how we'd train them that way, you see. Then they'd go back and train their own students. And then... after I got fed up, I was losing touch with the battalion.
Mm-hmm. How long were you there then?
10 months, 10 or 11 months.
And were you still...
I was away from the battalion for over a year.
But you were taken away from your mortar. Some other officer was given that.
Yes.
Platoon.
Yeah.
Was this... You were told that this would be a permanent position or that you would eventually get back to the battalion eventually?
Nobody knew, really. You couldn't tell. You never knew what the hell was going to go on, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because... when I was through the battle school, I didn't go back to the battalion.
Reserve.
I went to the holding unit, you see. I was there for... two or three months. Until a vacancy back in the battalion, you see, but I didn't go back as mortar officer.
What'd you go back as?
Oh, I went back as captain. Oh, because I had been, my promotion, I came through just about the time, just before I left the battle school.
Do you think that the battle school was an effective means of teaching?
You bet.
better than anything you'd experienced before.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Everything, well, once you got into action, everything wasn't done exactly the way it had done it at the battle school, but there were a hell of a lot of basics and things like that, the drill, what you had to do to get your platoon or your company up and move it, whatever, you know, the whole thing.
Well, it gave an officer the feeling of what it was like to be, you heard what a battle sounded like, you had to crawl through the mud, you had to do those sorts of things. And it gave him a bit of, do you want to get some cigarettes?
Or yeah, just turn it off. I've got something.
Okay, I think we're talking about the battle school and the effectiveness of it.
Oh, yes. Well, then, eventually...
You asked to be transferred from the battle school?
Yeah. I asked to be RTU'd.
And was this granted right away, or did you have to...
No, it...
happened.
Eventually it came through in orders, you know. And, well, I'd got fed up. I was, it was very strenuous, you know. Everything was on the double. Nobody walked anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You ran.
Even the instructors?
Even the instructors. Oh, you bet. God, I could have... I was the best shape I was ever in my life. But I was getting cheesed off with it. I had to be an example to our pupils, you see. We're mostly officers. Except for these mortar crews and I think one or two of the other. The carriers, too. The carrier people, they had the same idea. And the mortars didn't. Oh, they're all officers, you see. And, I'd had it after all this time. I wanted to get back to my battalion, and because I was losing touch. They'd been on all kinds of big schemes that I wasn't in on.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back, I think, and I... I went back as second in command of a company.
How had the battalion changed? You had been away for about a year now.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
Well, there were a few new officers, not many.
Mm-hmm.
No, the same. The CO and... No, the CO had changed. He was a First World War type, a Colonel Parker. I think Dick had gone back to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that a lot of those who had been First World War vets and pre-war militia, the old guard, had been sent back to Canada and replaced by perhaps younger men?
No, most of us in the militia before the war who were of an age.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of those perhaps 35 and over, First World War vets, perhaps 40-ish.
Yeah, oh yeah, they were all, as far as I know, none of them.
They had been weeded out eventually and sent back.
None of them got into action with us. They were weeded out.
Was that a good idea, do you think?
Yes.
You know, I think they could have handled
physically. There were one or two of them, I think, could have done it and done it easily, but quite a lot of them, they just physically could not because, you know, when you get over 40, 45, two nights without sleep and going like hell all the time, you just haven't got anything left,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And not only is he endangering himself, but he's a liability to his men.
Well, and, yes. In a way, but no, you just can't think properly when you're that exhausted, and it really is exhausting mentally and physically.
But you were
and
able
the
to
younger,
handle better.
The younger men were, you know, able to cope. Then we.
What company were you to ICO?
I was too. I seen a Major Plows, you know, Arthur Plow. You made him in the mess there
mm-hmm.
for a while. Then I was sent away again. For the life of me, I can't remember now.
Mm-hmm. This will be in the summer of 43, I should think.
Summer of 43, early.
Early.
Yeah.
Where were you
We were down at Angry on the coast.
Mm-hmm. The coastal tent?
No, well, we were just in barracks there. We were training, too. And doing schemes. Things. We'd pretend we'd just landed right there where the battalion was, and we had to take out something 20 miles inland.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, 15 miles or something. And, go all day skirmishing and whatnot and put in an attack and then walk home again. Get home, you're pretty damn tired.
Mm. There's no transportation at all?
Oh, no.
No.
Except for some, you know, they'd have some chaps that have to drop out, whatever, sprain an ankle or whatever, you know, some skirmishing. And little things happen.
What about the mortar platoon? Would they have their Brendan carriers?
Mortars, by this time, of course, I didn't have anything to do with them. And they would frequently, the mortars would be attached. You know, they'd be attached to a company. Two mortars or whatever was thought necessary, you see. They wouldn't keep all the mortars together as
one major
unit. They'd be, because they were essentially a support weapon and their main use was neutralizing an area.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have two or three mortars that'd be attached to one of the forward companies and used to whatever way the company commander wanted, you know.
Such
whatever.
For a mortar officer was no longer there.
No, he just had to run the platoon as such. And,
I think you're about to say that you were detached from the unit again, and you were sent somewhere?
Yes, and then I came back.
Where'd
again.
You go?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was back to holding unit, to replace somebody, or what.
Was it a long time?
Or a course, another... an infantry officer's course. Didn't do too well on that. And then I came back, and by this time the battalion was in the Isle of Wight doing assault training.
Mm-hmm.
I was seconding Commander Colonel Whiteman, or Major Whiteman as he was then.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did this be?
In the summer of 43.
And combined ops.
We were doing combined ops and all that sort of stuff. And then I was away again. I had, I was at, sent to, what was it, Canadian Base, CBRG, I think, Canadian Base Reinforcement Group. And I had the first reinforcements for the 7th Brigade. I had the Winnipegs. By this time I was a captain, of course. I had the reinforcements for the Winnipegs and the Reginas and the Scottish. They were all under me.
Mm-hmm. Were these the Winnipeg Grenadiers?
No, the Winnipeg Rifles and the Regina Rifles. And
it meant, of course, being away from the battalion.
Oh, yeah, I was away from the battalion. They were getting ready to go in, for D-Day.
Were you given a choice in this matter? Which
no.
Which is a silly question to ask,
no.
I know, but... were you just an isolated case, or did this happen to a lot of officers, getting shifted so often?
I rather think mine might be a little exceptional.
Are there reasons for that?
Well, because I was in the mortars for so long,
mm-hmm.
It took so many of these mortar
courses,
you see.
Yeah.
Dead keen on it. I didn't care whether I got promotion or not. I wasn't.
So you allowed yourself to become a specialist in a field that sort of died out, in a sense. Your position died out as a mortar officer, instead of being a company commander or a platoon leader, which would have been easier for promotion, I guess.
Yeah. Would have been better, I think, you see, because eventually, it wasn't long after they made the mortar platoon of captains command.
Did they?
Yeah.
Was any thought given to
you? There was so much, there was quite a lot of responsibility, you know. He had a lot of equipment to look after. And so there we were. We eventually we went through, we didn't go through Southampton when we were got into the stream.
But you were, let me just stop you for a minute. You weren't with the battalion at this time.
No, I was with the Canadian Base Reinforcement Group.
Okay, and the battalion is ready to go to the embarkation post for D-Day, right?
Right.
Okay, and you're back at the Southampton?
No, I was inland somewhere, CBRG.
Uh-huh.
And I was most unusual, too. We sailed from London, King George V docks,
mm-hmm.
on a British troop ship with a half a battalion of the British Queen's Own Cameron Highlanders on board, some Scottish Light Horse, and...
I take it these are all reinforcement units?
These were third British Div.
Mm-hmm.
They had the third... Well, it was sensible, because we were 3rd Canadian Div, they were 3rd British Div. And they were side by side, mm-hmm. actually.
Were they sword or gold each?
No, that I can't tell you now either.
Not to where that can be found out very easily.
Yeah. Anyway, I was responsible for all these people.
Even for the British soldiers as well?
Yes.
You were the senior officer on board?
I wasn't a senior officer by any means, but I had more troops than anybody else. I had more than a half
precedence over the rest.
I had more than half a battalion, so they had a permanent CO, military permanent. He was a colonel.
Mm-hmm.
He traveled with the ship all the time, but he was OC troops on the ship, regardless of who was on the ship on their rank. He was OC troops. He had an adjutant. So he made me responsible for everything. All his instructions had to come through me. And then on down to all these British troops and everything else. And I didn't even know where I was going.
Yeah. Because someone knew Normandy was the...
We knew we were going to France, but we didn't know. I didn't know where I was landing. Never been briefed properly.
You left London about the same time that the other fellows had been leaving Southampton and other
ports right.
to the south.
That's right. See, but we were came in later because we had to come down around the south through the Straits of Dover, and then
mm-hmm.
I had all the maps for all these troops that were on board, all these various units that were on board. All the maps were given to me. They had to be, until we sailed, there had to be an officer's guard on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were handed out. They couldn't be handed out either until the ship was going through the Straits of Dover. Then they were handed out.
Mm-hmm.
Because all these Brits and everybody, they just, dying to get their hands on them, see exactly where they were going,
uh-huh.
Because they'd had all the models and everything with fictitious names and
mm-hmm.
all that sort of thing. And here I'd been briefed by a French-Canadian, nice chap, Willie Bebo, but he didn't know what the hell was going on either, so I didn't.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know what beach I was going to land on or
mm-hmm.
where.
But you knew that your battalion, the Canadian Scots, were going in and that
yes, I knew they were already in.
Mm-hmm. What were the first indications? What news did you hear initially? Because you were
trying
to reinforcements.
Nothing much. Because we were on board ship. We didn't hear much on board ship, except the landings were taking place, and we were just getting there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Landings were taking place.
No,
we would get off when we were told to get off, you see, and not before. So we did. There's an American tank landing craft came alongside, and I got all my troops in, and there were some of the British troops as well, and this American... I went up onto the bridge. This American lieutenant took a cigar out of his mouth and says, "Where do you want to go, Captain?" I couldn't say, I don't know. So I saw one going in, and there was, didn't seem to be too much, you know, smoke and corruption and whatnot. And the guys were getting out of this thing only up to their ankles in the water. I said, over by that one. So he did. He dumped. He got us there, and we only just barely got our feet wet.
Mm-hmm. This was the entire battalion that you had.
Yeah, by virtue of numbers, not they weren't actually a half a battalion, but you know, I had 300 and whatever.
What day did you land? Was it D-Day plus one or two or three?
Plus one.
Were there much signs of the fighting that had gone on?
Oh yeah, there was the odd dead guy lying around, and there was buildings still
smoldering,
and a few dead Germans and things around. Snipers were being sniped at a bit, but there was nothing
major.
No, nothing major.
Were the French people around as well?
Sure. Staring daggers at us.
How did you feel about the French people?
Not too much one way or the other. They'd had it pretty soft, you know, for 3 years.
And contrary
Except
to popular opinion, most people didn't resist. Most people just went along with what it was happening.
What else could they do except the, you know, the red-eyed, wild-eyed loyalists, you might call them. But
don't you find it rather hypocritical that later on, when they found people that had, even to a minor extent, gone along with the Germans, they would tar them and feather them and shave their heads?
I don't think that happened all that much. It was only the blatant collaborationists that got really...
Was it?
As far as I know. I mean, I wasn't there then when they were doing that sort of stuff, then when the war was over.
So you didn't feel as if that you were the liberators of France, and you weren't acclaimed by them as being the liberators of France?
No, they didn't, because we'd wrecked their houses, and, you know, we'd made a hell of a mess of the place then. Except in some instances, some of the men, you know, greeted us with open arms. This was right within mile of the beach, you know, going through one village in particular, a buddy woman, Jesus, she was, if looks could have killed that, had dropped dead right there.
Mm-hmm.
I was leading my merry men up the road. So, we got to this CBRG and we were bombed that night, and some of the lads, there were Canadians too, but didn't actually belong to me, but they had been with us.
Where was the CBRG?
CBRG.
CBRG. Where was it located? At any particular town?
No. No, it wasn't in a town. It was just wherever they
happened to be.
Took over a great big field or whatever, you know.
Was it
this
a mile or
it.
Two inland?
Hmm?
How far inland was
yeah.
it? A mile or two?
No more than that.
And there was a bombing attack going on?
Yeah, just at dark. Somebody plane came over and bombed and... I know these fellows were Camerons from Winnipeg, either Ottawa or Winnipeg. Hell of a nice young officer with them. They killed them. They just happened to hit where they were.
Were they in slit trenches? Must have been.
But their slits were along a hedge, and he had bombed the hedge.
Cool.
There was a bit of stuff falling around. I don't know. I was in a little bit of a slit trench trying to get some sleep. There was nothing else to do. We were all trying to get a bit of sleep because we figured we'd be pushing off up to the join the battalion first thing in the morning. Instead of that, I went to the North Nova Scotia Highlanders.
How did you manage that? Again,
orders. Yeah, no option.
Yeah.
All my men, too.
All those that had been ticketed to go to the Canadian Scots were sent to the North Nova.
Right. Right. There were 68, three officers. Duncan Lorimer, who retired a couple of years ago as principal of Vic High, he was one of my lieutenants, as me. Another fellow from Vancouver. And we were with them for the North Novies for almost 3 weeks, because they had taken one heck of a pasting. And we're still taking it when we got up there. It was my first
taste
of hostile
enemy fire.
Brings on a dry mouth, I'm telling you.
Well, how did you first encounter it? Were you with the unit for a couple of days and then you went into action, or did you just go right into action?
No, I just got there when Jerry started to shell.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to the North Novies, and I can remember the CO shouting, Colonel Petch, I mean, take cover. I just dove into a, there was already a slit trench. There was a slit trench there, nobody in it. I was. Everybody else, too.
No prompting was needed there.
No.
How did you work with the North Milwaukee? You said they were there for a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Weeks?
Yeah, well, when I got there, the CO, you know, by this time I was a captain,
mm-hmm.
and the CO asked, would I please take over the mortar platoon? They had heard about me.
Mm-hmm.
At the battle school.
Because you were the same brigade, right? So
no, we weren't in the same brigade.
North Milwaukee weren't the same brigade?
No. But they had heard about me. Somebody knew of me anyway at the battle school. And he said, Third, you're an instructor at the battle school. Would you please take over our mortar platoon? Because our mortar officer has been promoted. He's now company commander of headquarters company. Would you take that? I was only too happy. Sure. So I had the mortars for things simmered down. Well, there was no movement. That was after all the initial advances had come to a halt, and everything was building up while they were
fighting over Conn, I guess.
Getting, it was outside Conn, about 4 miles or something from Conn.
And you're waiting for the Americans to do this.
Waiting for the Americans to do this thing or there. So we weren't attacking or anything. We started off once and were called back because the British 3rd Div, they were supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if they went, we were. Well, they got stopped and they came back. So we were just starting off when it was all canceled.
When would that have taken place? Late June, early July?
Oh, that was in D plus, what, 4, 5, something like.
So just shortly after D.
Yeah, just shortly after. We'd only,
You're still consolidating the beachhead at that time, I guess.
I presume they were, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it'd be a little later. We'd been there about 4 days, 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we just stayed again. Then the anti-tank officer got wounded. Would have then, in the meantime, a trained North Novi mortar guy had come up. Or was coming up. They knew he was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Would I take over the anti-tank platoon?
Certainly.
I didn't know anything about an anti-tank. I think.
Well, what did they have in anti-tank? Piat?
No, they had little guns.
What size?